Grab a seat. Happy Easter. I know people are coming in. We've got seats. Hudson's got a cookie. All right. Scott's got a coffee. I know. For some people, Easter is a really, really exciting, awesome time of year. For others, there's a range of less so. You guys can stay seated, actually. I know you're super excited. Come on in, grab a seat. I knew getting everybody's attention would be the hardest part. Well, patterns and habits are hard to break. We're going to do something a little different here this morning, and that is I'm going to give an introduction, and then we're going to worship, and then we'll have our break, and then after our break, we'll do something a little different too. So why don't I... maybe I'll start off this way. You guys all know it is Easter, right? And Mary came to the tomb, and the angel said to her, "He is not here. He is risen." And so, for centuries, Christians have had a little refrain: "He has risen."
"He has risen indeed."
Yeah, that's right. And I love saying that about the first five times. And then it starts to drop off. So we'll see if we can get to five, between five and ten. So let's pray and we'll start our service. Lord Jesus, you told us we could pray directly to the Father. And Father, come be with us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy to praise. Fill us with joy in these truths. And Lord, bring a blessing, because you are the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the way I want to start us. I want to ask a question, and the question is why? And there's lots of answers to the questions of why on Easter. But here's one of them. We'll walk through a little theme. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. God, his desire with Adam was to walk with him. To walk with him in the garden. And then he makes himself a people. He takes them out of slavery in Egypt, and he tells them this. Matt, you might have to help me. "And the word became flesh." Nope. Oh, it's not there. He told him to make a tabernacle. He told him to make a tabernacle that he might be with his people. Because God wanted to be with his people in the tabernacle. And then God wanted to be with his people in the temple. And God wanted to be with his people. And then John says this about Jesus. Help. "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And when that Bible verse says dwelt, the word is tabernacle. That Jesus tabernacled among us. He came because of God's desire to be with his people. He came because God wants us to be in relationship with him, with the Son, as we love and follow him, walking in relationship. And this is John 14. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we," that's the Father and Jesus, "we will come to him and make our home with him." That's the why. From Jesus's, from God's view, as he looks down, why am I doing all these things? What do I want? What is the story of history? How am I bringing it together? He wants to make a home with us. Jesus rose from the dead, and this is Easter, and we celebrate it, and there's lots of whys of why he rose from the dead, but one of them from God's point of view is he wants to walk with us and wants to be with us, and he wants to make a home with us, and that type of relationship with him, that's what he desires. You know, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to set up a kingdom on the earth when he comes back. And the Israelites have celebrated this truth, and the prophets celebrated it, that it's coming in the future. And here's one of the verses about when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst." He said it again. "And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." This is what God's after. This is the why of Easter. And then we can trace it all the way to the book of Revelation. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." The end of all things is God with man. And the resurrection is one mighty step toward that end. And we're going to sing a few songs here. But I want to just remind us of something you already know here. Life is really hard. We have an enemy. We have a flesh. The world seems as unstable as maybe it ever has. Many look at the future, and the future seems scary. But one of the reasons I come to church on Easter, or I come to church every single week, is so that I can grab hold of a promise that though the world is the chaos of waves jostling, God is with us, and God is with me. And that's what we're going to celebrate. We are going to think about and celebrate this morning Jesus rising from the dead so that he can be with us. Stand, let's sing. Guys, okay, let's grab a seat. All right, it is fun for me to see everybody. It is fun for me to see everybody, to see those that are dressed up. Grab your coffee. Come on in. Singing was fun. We're going to do more of that before we're done here. So, I would like to welcome to our service, in one sense, all of you, but I would like to welcome to the teaching people that will now be with us every week, and that is our oldest classroom has graduated to the service. We give those guys at least some of them. We left some of them to help the newbies. Hey, Hudson and Maddox, come be part of the service. You've graduated into the service, which means you should be here on time. Okay. He's my son, so I get to tell him. Grab a seat, guys. Grab a seat. Okay. A lot of you guys know this. We are walking through the feasts of Israel. Now, I was talking to somebody what I was going to do this morning, and they're like, what do you mean you're not doing the Passover? And I was like, yeah, we did the Passover. We're doing the Feast of Tabernacles. So I would like to give you three thoughts about the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we're going to sing three more songs. And then I would like to give you one more thought and have you guys give me a thought if we have time. And then we'll sing two more songs that hopefully will bring our hearts to a real crescendo. That's the prayer, that's the hope, that's where we're going. And let me share my three thoughts here about the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Feast of Tabernacles is also called kind of the Feast of Booths. What the Israelites are celebrating, as they celebrate this, is they are celebrating the travel from Egypt to the Promised Land. So the story, the history, is that the Israelites, God's people, were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered them from slavery. And he delivered them because Moses went before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And so God brought miracles, brought judgment, plagues. And in the end, Pharaoh let people go. And the last plague was really the Passover, where the angel of death passed over those that were under the blood, symbolizing the death and cross of Christ. And then the Israelites were free, but they weren't at the Promised Land yet. They had a journey. Had a journey through the desert, through the Red Sea of baptism, and a journey in which they lived in tents. And so every year they commemorate this journey by living in tents during this feast. But this is also symbolic, maybe prophetic for us. We have been freed from slavery of sin, as Jesus called our sin, slavery. We've been freed from the slavery of sin by the cross, by our Passover lamb being slain and coming under the blood. And now we are on a journey to the Promised Land, or we commonly refer to it as heaven. And so, this is the way Paul refers to it. We too are living in tents. So let's read this verse. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's kind of wordy, but I'll give you a couple things that come right out of there. This body, your body, is a tent. It's a tent. And when you get to the promised land, you won't live in a tent anymore. What is mortal? This body is mortal. It's going to be swallowed up to life. And that's kind of the picture that we are walking, and it is the picture that the Feast of Tabernacles put before the Israelites. And now we walk in even more of reality. But during the Feast of Tabernacles, there were two ceremonies that were done. And the first ceremony, well, they had to do with water, and they had to do with light. Two biblical New Testament themes. The first one has to do with water. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, priests, they would all meet at the temple, and they would be excited. And they would walk with great anticipation out of the temple, down the southern steps, down next to the Kidron Valley, down the city of David, all the way to the Pool of Siloam. And they would take pitchers, and they would grab the pitchers of water from the Pool of Siloam in their hand, and then they would walk up to the temple, and they would sing the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 through 134, and they would go up the southern steps, and they would go into the temple area, and they would have these huge bowls, and they would pour the water out into the bowls, and when they poured the water out, they would go nuts. In fact, one rabbi said this: he who has not seen the rejoicing at the pouring out of the water has not seen rejoicing in all his life. And it is in their minds, it was a symbol of when the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out in the last days, when the Holy Spirit gets poured on Israel. And they would sing Isaiah 12:3, with joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. Well, the second great ceremony was the ceremony of light. And they would have four enormous candlesticks, so four menorahs in the temple. But when I say enormous, I'm talking 50 cubits. Now, you probably don't know what a cubit is. Maybe some of you do. I'll do the math for you. 75 feet tall. Six stories. Huge. And on top of each one would be a huge bowl. And then they would have youths from the priestly, youths of priests, so priestly line. They would climb these huge ladders with 7.5 gallons of oil. And they would pour them in the bowl, and they'd use old priestly clothes as wicks, and they would light these six-story high menorahs. And
It is said that the light filled up all Jerusalem because the temple is on a hill. And so when the light from those candles, it comes down, and the priest used to say it used to fill up every backyard, every courtyard. It used to fill Jerusalem with light. Well, to the rabbis, this was symbolic of God's glory, God's Shekinah glory that was promised to Israel when? At the coming of the Messiah. Okay, so water and light being kind of celebrated here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, what did Jesus say during the Feast of Tabernacles? And you can read what Jesus said during the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7 through John 10. All that section is during the Feast of Tabernacles. But let's read one thing he said here. On the last day of the feast, that's the Feast of Tabernacles, the great day, the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, Jesus is being very clear. I am the one that's going to give the Spirit. Come to me, and I will pour out the Spirit. It is me. It is me. It is through me. Come anyone who is thirsty. No one had ever talked like this before. Then he said this in John 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is saying, I am the fulfillment of this ceremony. I'm the fulfillment. It is me. I am a light, not just to the temple, not just to Jerusalem, and not just to Israel, but to the whole world. They looked at him and said, "Oh, you're demon possessed." And they didn't understand. But Jesus was there fulfilling the reason for those feasts right in their midst. Do you know what they sang? They sang Isaiah 12:3. Now here's a song, but before we read it, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. That's right. The name of Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua. So this is what they sang. "Behold, God is my Yeshua. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And he has become my Yeshua. With joy you will draw water from the wells of Yeshua." That's what they sang. And sadly, they missed it. Yeshua, Messiah, my Yeshua. Water, symbolizing satisfaction and joy. Light, symbolizing truth and wisdom, and knowledge. and the Messiah, the one who came to save. And in this section of song, we are going to lift up the person of Jesus and who he is fully in the whole world, but also who he is to me and to us. So let's stand and we'll sing. We'll sing some songs here. Band, come on up. He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
You guys can have a seat. All right. There's one little detail in the book of Matthew. Very amazing detail on the story of Easter. And that is that there was an earthquake when Jesus died. And the veil in the temple was torn in two. And God had always wanted to be with his people. But he stayed behind a curtain in the Holy of Holies. And one of the reasons he did that was because of man's sin. Because we look around at ourselves, and even in the church, and even in our own family, and even amongst people we care about, we hurt one another. And if we look at the world and we look at humans, there's hatefulness and there's greed and there's taking advantage of other people and there's selfishness. And to take that heart and meld it with a God that is only love and only justice and only kindness, it cannot be. And so we cannot be with a perfect, holy God. And so there was a curtain in the temple. And at the death of Jesus, God takes the curtain and he rips it in two. And what it means is that Jesus' death has provided a way to be with God in a way nobody previously could have been with God. And that is if we repent of sin, trust in his forgiveness, and receive him, God can be with us. And it's glorious. And here's, I forgot my clicker. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We are made alive from Jesus' death. We are made alive as he brings forgiveness and the death of sin in us. We're alive. We are made alive now. And we will be made alive when we die. Jesus rose, we will follow him. He is the first fruits. We will follow him. We will be made alive and rise as Jesus has risen. But let me bring this back to the beginning. Because what is eternal life? What do we celebrate? What is rising? What is the point? What are we doing? It's our next verse. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus is there before his crucifixion, and he is there. He is praying to the Father. And he says, his heart, Jesus' divine heart, is that we know the Father and that we know him. And what is the work? What is the work that he finally accomplished? That he walked out and he did? The work is to provide the way for us. To tear the veil. And what is the principal promise in the New Testament that we get to hold on to and have as we go from the desert to the promised land? It's, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the promise. And that's the reason. Like the song said, oh, to know you. Because that is the desire of the Father. And that is why Jesus rose. And that's why we're here. Now, I want to give a few minutes here for you guys to respond and bring a little something. So here's the question. You guys can answer it as you see fit. What has Jesus brought you? Sobriety. So that is, wait just a second. So that is power over sin. That's what that is. Holy Spirit, power over sin, and sin that brings slavery and seeks to destroy us all. It is a very specific and example that's close to our hearts. Lee, you were going to say something. Hope, how so? Good one. Anybody else? If I could put a word to that, a word that makes me think of is companionship. Yeah. Not being alone. Yeah. Yeah. I like that one. That's a good one. Owen. Yeah. I'd say he hasn't brought it yet, but to you, he's already brought it. I like that faith. Katie. Peace. How so? I love it. Good. Say it loud, girl. Joy. Any comment? Yeah. You ever sense yourself doing that where you protect yourself? I can't really rejoice in this because I know the other shoe's going to drop. And that's good. That you're going to add. Okay, go ahead. Let's go here and then we'll go to the back. Second chance. Yeah, that's newness of life. That connects to Easter more than anything. Or I would say more than anything. Tone myself down sometimes. Kim. Healing. Healing. You want to talk a little more about that? Purpose? Yeah, purpose bigger than yourself and bigger than others' expectations does change your life. It does. Yeah. God has brought you the Holy Spirit. That is very good. Yes. Here's one I thought of. Rest. Rest from a fight to be worthy. Rest from a fight to approve of myself. Just a rest because things were given by grace. Grace just meaning a gift. It's just given. And it puts me in a restful place. Any others? Okay. I'm going to sing two more songs. And when we get this first song, we're going to sing Hallelujah, I think, a lot. And when we get to Hallelujah, let's let our hearts say Hallelujah. Shall we? Lord, I thank you that you have the victory and you have won over sin and death and evil, and you rose and you have assured us there is no crying or pain coming. And Lord, I thank you for our journey here. Lord, we praise you that you are with us. We praise you that you are changing us. We praise you that you are bringing good now with a promise to bring it in the future. Lord, we praise you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world. We praise you that anyone who is thirsty can come to you. And we praise you for the pouring out of your Holy Spirit as you are continually doing on those that trust you. Lord, we look to you, we praise you, we trust you. We trust you and we celebrate your great victory today. Are you Lord Almighty? You going to stay in the grave? No, you're worthy. You're sinless. You're powerful. You conquered. Because you are the victor and you are the worthy one. We praise you together. We celebrate you together. We thank you for the chance to gather as your church and do what you always wanted. To have praise and to be with your people. And like that song, oh, to know you. Your desire is our desire. And that is what we seek. And we thank you that you have made a way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, go in peace.